the Hebrew poet who wrote this psalm is a man who knows how difficult life can be. He knows it because he has tasted it in his own experience. But this also be known, that for every possible predicament of humans, there is a corresponding grace of God. For every particular human need, there is a supernatural resource. This morning we're going to look at the four stanzas, the four unforgettable pictures of life's changes. And to each one of them, we're going to see the transformation that comes when faith lays hold on God. And over again, the psalmist will repeat, "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." And then each one is going to lead on to the mercy of God working in those lives. And the psalmist will close that part with a praise and a declaration. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, what are we going to do with this? What is this saying to me about my experience? What is this saying to you about your experience? How does this apply to the actual circumstances of my life today? Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in a wilderness, in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. This first picture is of you and I as pilgrims. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. And when you look back at the Hebrews, when you look back into the Old Testament, at Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and all the rest and all the pilgrims, the writer of Hebrews said they wandered looking for a city. Not finding, but looking for a city. Life is like that. We're travelers in the world, and it's easy to get lost on our pilgrimage. Life gets tangled and confused, perhaps no more so than in the last year. And occasionally, with or without a pandemic, we ask, is this all? Is this all life is supposed to be? And the psalmist says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. This is a pilgrim God can guide. Almost 300 years ago, William Williams wrote the beautiful hymn, "Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah." And that first verse says, "Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more." And the psalmist echoes, "He led them forth by the right way." This was a pilgrim who has God for a guide. Wouldn't it be worthwhile to stop and listen to that guide for a while? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. First, the pilgrim who can have God as a guide. Now, secondly, the prisoner God can set free. Beginning at verse 10 of Psalm 107. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works for the children of men. For He has broken the gates of the bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. First, the pilgrim who can have God as a guide. Now the prisoner God sets free. The Hebrew worshiper singing this hymn so many years ago knew his nation's history. They knew the stories about the bondage in Egypt. They knew the turmoil of slavery and being deprived of freedom. And while those are stories today that we only know because we have read them, there are times when life seems to hold us in bondage, just as surely as those Hebrew slaves sold into slavery. And we reach a point where we say, I can't go on like this. I must be free. The psalmist was describing a great multitude when he spoke of feeling crushed and cramped and miserable, bound in affliction and iron. But here he breaks forth again with a word of transformation. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And notice here, like in the last piece and in the two that come, He delivered them out of their distresses. Plural. Distresses. That's the glorious liberty of the children of God. The Christian message is a message of release. And this is one that so many people fail to misunderstand. They run to new moralities, to drink, to drugs, to the whole pathetic paraphernalia in an effort to escape. And if only they knew that all that was necessary is the remedy that's at hand. For this is still God's world and full of the liberating power of the Spirit of Christ. The faith of Christ, membership in the body of Christ, adds on another dimension to the human experience. He gives a whole new world, a realm of spiritual retreat. A prisoner? Yes, but far more. A prisoner that God can set at liberty. How wonderful to accept that freedom in Jesus Christ today and tomorrow and all the days of our lives. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. First, there was the pilgrim who can have God as guide. Secondly, the pilgrim, the prisoner, God can set free. And now thirdly, the sufferer that God can heal. Beginning at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgressions, and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. The pilgrim who can have God as guide, the prisoner God can set free, and now thirdly, the sufferer God can heal. There's never been a lack of diseases to incapacitate and to kill. From the Black Plague of centuries ago that wiped out whole towns and decimated the populations of cities, to the coronavirus pandemic of today that has killed almost 2.7 million of us around the world. There have always been threats to life. But there is one malady common to the human race that is 100% fatal. It's a scourge that no soul escapes from. It's deadly contagious. It claims its victims everywhere. The plague stalks unchallenged through the world. That disease is sin. And it's not from a failure to attempt a cure that this disease marches on. We've tried forgetfulness, excessive permissiveness, education, resolution, and still it's uncured. But then comes the transforming word. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. This is the sufferer that God can heal, and that includes healing on a physical level. But ultimately, all healing is reconciliation with God, and that's what the psalmist is after here. He says, God sent His word and healed them, which points us into the New Testament, to the declaration of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And to the neediest among us, Christ comes today and says, I am your healing and I am your life. The sufferer, yes, but far more, the sufferer whom God makes whole because of the great physician's aid, the remedy Christ went to the cross to give us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. First, the pilgrim who can have God as guide. Second, the prisoner God can set free. Third, the sufferer that God can heal. And now fourth, the voyager God pilots home. Beginning at verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. The pilgrim who can have God as guide, the prisoner that God can set free, the sufferer that God can heal, and now the voyager that God pilots home. Those that go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, and on them the storm rises, and the psalmist says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. And that's another picture that the Jew was familiar with. You see, to them the sea was a deadly place. It was an insatiable monster that devoured souls and ships. Countless ships had sailed away from safe harbor, never to be seen again, never to be heard from again. So many voyagers had never reached safety. And as with the other pictures, this is more than a tale of the sea. It's a story of life. It is a story of storms and waves and fear and lost hope. And what if life really is like all those ships that have vanished in the uncertain mists and the treacherous waters? What if this is all there is? And the story of a land that is fairer than day is just that. A beautiful story without any substance, without any truth. But the psalmist declares once again, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. We're not lone voyagers out on a lonely ocean. We are the voyagers that God pilots home. The psalmist said He brings them to their desired haven. James S. Stewart, a Scottish preacher who was chaplain to the Queen when she was in Scotland, writes, and that means the loved one to whom you said goodbye on that darkest and lonely of days, that has left your life feeling blank and empty ever since. It will mean that you yourself one day, when the voyage ends, and there waiting to welcome you as your ship draws near to land, that loved one of your own, waiting eager at the harbor to be the first to hail you as the ship comes in. Dear one you thought lost, and now I've found forever. And we know it is so because Jesus has told us. If it were not so, Jesus says in John 14, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And to those fearful disciples that night, He said, because I live, you shall live also. Oh, let's take Jesus at His word. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men.